Today's guest has been performing in public for so long, it's hard to know just where to begin. Jim Belushi joins us today to talk about his recently kindled relationship with Southern Oregon, which includes building a cabin on the Rogue River and an upcoming benefit performance with his band to help the Holly Theater restoration effort in downtown Medford. Jim Belushi acts in comedy, he acts in drama, he sings. He's been doing all of them for many years, ranging from roles in Real Monsters to Born Yesterday on Broadway. He was a Saturday Night Live cast member in the early 80s and a sitcom star on According to Jim for 8 seasons on ABC, and the list goes on and on and on. Jim Belushi, thanks so much for joining us today on The Exchange.
Oh, Jeffrey, it's nice to be here. Thank you for having me. But I will give you the weather report in Medford. It's beautiful.
Okay, good.
It is gorgeous. I'm sitting right outside on my porch looking at the river. It's cool. You had plans to hit higher temperatures this afternoon. No clouds. No rain, and wind is just gentle.
We're going to keep this phone number and call you every morning for the Medford weather forecast. Thanks, Jim, for that. The Holly Theater's page about the benefit next month refers to you as a beloved character actor, which seems like a pretty narrow slot. How do you describe your job?
My job? I chase magic.
Uh-huh.
That's my job. I just, wherever magic is, I want to sniff it out and be in the middle of it. And I find magic in music, on the stage, directing, writing, ensemble work is really the greatest place for magic. And you can find that anywhere in the arts.
Ensemble work, so I mean, this, your history with improv goes way, way back. And you still remember the first time you saw somebody doing it?
Yes, I remember the moment as clear as I can see the river right now. I was 16. Excuse me. My brother John was at the Second City in Chicago, and I went to see him. And that experience in that theater with that improv, it was John, Harold Ramis, Joe Flaherty, Jim Fisher, Eugenie Ross Lemming, and Judy Morgan. That experience was one of the most blow-away experiences I'd ever had. I mean, the sense of humor, the social satire, which I'd never really seen or experienced, and that was magic in the room, and that's when I went. How do I get in on that?
Yeah, really. And you did get into it successfully.
Well, I started my own improv company in high school. Didn't know what I was doing. We were terrible. We played coffee houses, and then when I went to college, I had a little improv group. And I studied Viola Spolin's improvisation for the theater. And when I got out of college, actually, I hadn't gotten out of college yet. I had one more semester of student teaching. But I couldn't wait, and I went and auditioned, and I got right into the touring company. I prepared for 6 years for that audition, and I blew them away, got in. I did my student teaching during the day in Second City at night. And that was the start of my real ensemble work.
So 6 years of training would have made you feel pretty solid at what you were doing. At the beginning, though, I mean, are there some scary moments learning the craft of improv?
Oh, well, there's some basic rules that'll keep you safe on stage. Safety rules, we like to call them. But you got to be in the moment, and you got to be kind of quick. I wouldn't consider myself the quickest, the wittiest, but I was very focused in the moment and in character. And, brought great focus onto the stage, and I was always kind of the point man in all the casts.
That some of the safety rules you're talking about, like always accepting the pitch that somebody else gives you, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
No denial, yes and. You know what a yes and is?
Instead of no. You know, instead somebody says, here we are in the bus station, and you don't say, no, we're in a train station.
Well, that's denial. The other one is, here we are in a bus station, yes, and there are 18 people behind us, and they're all carrying weapons. And you would go, yes, I saw those weapons, but they look like toy weapons. I go, yes, but the toy weapons now are being manufactured by Remington. So you accept that premise and you add on to it.
The process.
And then the other one is not to argue.
Ah.
People hate to argue.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you want to watch it? And it stops the progression of the scene. I mean, even with, I do these exercises with my own wife mm-hmm. to avoid arguments. You know, she'll say a premise. I'll acknowledge the premise or mirror it and then add on to it. Because once you say no, then you're both defending, and then it's terrible to watch. It's terrible to be part of.
Yeah, it is that, too. So in the process of making improv, though, I mean, everything is fresh and new and happening as you're doing it. It's really fun for the audience to watch. There must be lots of times, though, when you come close to cracking up yourself as part of an improv group.
Well, the cardinal rule is not to do that. That was a big, big deal at Second City. That was one of our, you know, you're not concentrating, you're being lazy, you're being cute. And, you know, the quote was, you know, this is not the Carol Burnett show. Because those guys got stuck in some bad scenes and they would crack up. And the audience would just love it. But for true ensemble improvisation, that is a huge no-no. Now, that being said, the improv group that I have now with Larry Joe Campbell from According to Jim, I did it one night. You know, I'm the leader, so I go, okay, tonight I want a tight show.
Uh-huh.
I want everyone focused. I don't want anybody breaking character. And so I went on stage, and these guys literally made me pee my pants on stage.
Much more to talk about with Jim Belushi. We'll come back and talk more with him about his experiences on stage and his reasons for being in Southern Oregon. Back on the Jefferson Exchange with Jim Belushi and you in a minute 10. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thanks for listening. Our guest today is Jim Belushi, the Jim Belushi, joining us from stage, screen, TV, and the internet. He's just been all over the world and all over the entertainment world for decades now. And as he found a foothold in Southern Oregon, he'll be playing a benefit concert for the Holly Theater with a music group at the end of August. He's building a cabin on the Rogue River. It sounds like it's built already. We'll confirm that in just a moment. You can join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So, Jim, why Southern Oregon?
It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful place in the world. Magic. I found some magic. My friend has a big ranch on the Rogue outside of Shady Cove. And our kids are the same age and went to the same school, and he invited us up here about twice a year for quite a few years. And as soon as I jumped into the river, I came out like a different person.
Sounds like a baptism.
It was a baptism of Southern Oregon. It really was. And I've been in love, and my body changed, my speaking changed, my wife, like, well, you're awfully nice. And so for years, I was just kind of looking around, and I finally found this little property, and I just finished building the house, and here I am sitting on the porch, and I couldn't be happier.
Oh, it sounds great. So is this home now, or is L.A. still home?
And
this
I got to be at the beehive, as Danny Aykroyd calls it.
Mm-hmm.
The beehive, where the honey is, and we buzz around and take our honey, and then we get to go to places like, he likes to go to Canada, I like to go to Martha's Vineyard and here.
You've got stuff going on in so many places. I mean, like, you got the comedy club in Fort Myers, Florida, I noticed.
Oh, yes, my cousin is with me, my partner, that, yes.
So I'm starting to think you're a military weapon, you know, you have your parts built in several different states, you know, so more members of Congress support you or something?
No, I really need places to go because I think my family can only tolerate me for 4 days at a time, and I got to leave for a couple days to give them a break.
But can has the 4 days lengthened some since you've been in Southern Oregon? You mentioned your wife said you're nicer now.
I am nicer now. I think I've gotten them. Well, you know what? I was just with the family for 3 weeks straight, and I got a 16-year-old daughter. Of course, she's going to get pissed at me, but I did pretty good.
Not bad. So the cabin, I mean, the whole construction of the cabin was turned into this DIY series, Building Belushi. I mean, being on camera is natural. You've done that for a very long time. How about the home improvement part?
Well, you know, I've rebuilt, I remodeled a couple times in L.A., and then I built a brand new home in L.A., a beautiful, beautiful property. And I was fortunate to have some great architects and interior designer. And that was a 3-year project, and I was on that set, or, you know, the site, for all 3 years every day. I mean, I just love it. And when I was in junior college, I was the assistant to the theater director. And for 3 years, 2 years there, but including summer, I was like his assistant. And he taught me everything, from plumbing to electrical to roofing, the porches, and so I got a little of that, you know, this old house kind of way about me.
Mm-hmm. So did you end up with the cabin you wanted, or?
Well, it's way over my head. I mean, I literally wanted a fishing cabin, and now I have this house. I mean, I wanted something where my wife didn't want to come to. And now my wife loves it, and I got carried away. I timber framed it, and I've got really old beams from 1868 longleaf pine from a cotton gin in North Carolina that is just the most gorgeous wood. And it's timber framed, so there's no nails or anything in it. It's just structurally beautiful.
And wouldn't you know it, our first call wants to know about building products. Here's Derek and Talent. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Jim Belushi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I guess I'm kind of an OG when it comes to Jim because I remember the white boys rap from back in the day.
Hello, everybody, and how do you do? My name's Jim B. I'm going to rap for you tonight. Tonight, to feel all right. Lord knows the best part is from Saturday night. Yeah, rapping Jimmy B.
Fond memory. Thank you for that. I'm a paint and plaster contractor in the Valley, and I would hope that in the homes that you've built, in lieu of paint, you've used decorative veneer plasters, and I was just curious what you may have used, and hopefully you've discovered that aesthetic improvement. And
well, in my house in Los Angeles, we actually did a Venetian plastering, which was quite expensive in the end, and it's just gorgeous. But here we did a veneer plastering and made it a little rough, and we did rag it afterwards, and we had to redo a couple walls because you really don't know the tone that's going to happen until it dries. So yes, we did do that.
Given that you're a guy who works in show business where, you know, the scenery changes behind you a lot, I mean, do you have to do the same thing to your home, do you find, that you're changing things a lot just to make sure that things look new and interesting?
No, I think you got to do it interesting the first time, and then you can live with it forever. Although when you're married, things do change. Women like to bring in more fabric and switch things out, and I try to keep everything, you know. I just don't like the cost of fabrics. I don't get it.
Uh-huh.
I don't get why curtains are so expensive. I could buy 6 TV sets for that.
But you have to give in, because you have to admit, it makes the place look better, right?
Oh, now, you know, I used to smoke my cigars in my house. After I figured out the price of that material, those curtains and the material on the couches, It's like, no, I'm smoking outside. I'm not getting any smoke on that stuff. It's too expensive.
I noticed the cigar just about every picture from the DIY photo gallery. It seems like a pretty common accessory now these days.
Well, you know, my manager saw this show, and he goes, hey, you had your cigar in your mouth an awful lot. And I said, no, it's just the way they edited it. But, yeah, I'd like to have a couple cigars a day.
Your manager must be one of the busiest guys in the world. I mean, it just seems like you are never not working.
Well, I take the summer off, usually. Although last summer I did a film called The Whole Truth with Renee Zellweger and Keanu Reeves. But most of the time I take the summer off. And the fall and winter and especially the spring are very busy times all over the country for entertainment.
And given, I mean, you're such a lucky guy. I mean, you've gotten to work with so many people. I look at just the list of people. It's several generations of comedy stars. I get that it's your job, it's your career. But, I mean, what? There must be some high points that stand out after all this time.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of them. I mean, the first movie I did was with Michael Mann, James Caan.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was quite an experience. And I did Salvador with Oliver Stone and James Woods and... A few years ago, I did a movie in Germany, in Berlin, with Roman Polanski. I've been very lucky with the people I've worked with. But the comedy guys, too, I've been around everybody.
That list of people you ticked off at that first session of Second City you watched, that was like a comedy all-stars from people I've known from years back.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they were my... You know, I didn't work with them at that time. I just watched them. But, yeah, Harold Ramis and my brother John and Bill Murray was there after John. And I went to every Second City show maybe 6-7 times through every cast. I mean, all the way to Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. I used to go watch them, too.
We're talking to Jim Belushi on the Jefferson Exchange. He's a recent transplant to Southern Oregon, spending summer here. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. John was one of, you have two other siblings, don't you?
Yes, I have a sister named Marion, and I have a younger brother, Billy.
And either one of them perform?
No. Hmm. Although my sister, you know, I'm the most talented one in the family. I'm the one. I'm the good one. Yes, you are, Marion. I just, I don't know, maybe going to beautician school, you should have went to acting school.
So where is she now? What's she doing?
She's in Southern California with me.
Mm-hmm.
Not with me, but, in town.
You once said that if your father's restaurant hadn't failed, you'd be serving dinner somewhere.
I would be serving dinner tonight. I loved the restaurant business.
Really?
Oh, yes. And I actually, that Belushi's Comedy Bar in Fort Myers, I did it with my cousin, and we grew up in Chicago together, and he moved to Florida 35 years ago, and then he has like 13 different brands of restaurants, and he came up with this idea, and I love the restaurant business. I went, sure, so we're partners in it. He operates it. I just kind of come in and, you know, be a big shot.
Be the big shot, right, the visiting manager.
Yeah, yeah.
So given the idea of loving the restaurant business and...
Well,
always...
restaurant business, remember, is ensemble work.
Oh, yeah, that's true. It is. Everybody has to work together, don't they?
Yes, they do.
And it really is about accepting the stuff that people pitch to you.
That's right.
Yes, and all the time.
Yes, and yes, yes, it does have garlic in it. Yes, and it is one of the most delicious. Yes, and it's all yes, and.
Yes, and it's not gluten-free.
Yes, and it's not gluten-free. It's the way you say it.
So, Jim, were you ever on the verge of getting out of performing? Was there ever a time when you thought, you know, the career is dragging down, maybe I need to open a restaurant someplace and just stick with that?
No. I hate to say no in this improv that we're having, but no, not really. I really love what I do. I love performance. I mean, I have this band, the Sacred Hearts.
Mm-hmm.
I've been with them 20 years, and we do corporate shows and benefits, and we play Vegas. Actually, we're in Vegas over the Halloween weekend at the Orleans. And then Danny Aykroyd joins me. We put on the Blues Brothers outfit,
mm-hmm.
and my band, and Danny and I go out and do the Blues Brothers, again, for corporate, mainly corporate.
Uh-huh.
And I just love this music, and my band is, you know, between the nine of them, they probably have about, I don't know, 45 Grammy nominations and probably 10, 20 Grammys. I mean, it is a first-class L.A. studio musicians. I mean, this is a hot band. They make me look really good.
Were they already assembled playing together, or did you have
to... Well, you know what it was? When the House of Blues opened in Los Angeles, they had a Monday night band, and they were just playing Monday night. It was kind of like an open mic night, except for everyone in this band had played with big people. So Bonnie Raitt would come in, Bruce Springsteen would come in to jam with these guys because they were all, you know, they played with them. So when I was there, Jimmy Woods, the harmonica player who put it together, said, well, you know, when you come up, I go, oh, I don't do the blues, you know. I can sing light opera. I did that on Broadway. And then Danny wanted me to do the Blues Brothers. I said, well, I don't sing the blues. And he goes, well, you better learn. So I jumped up on stage with those guys on Monday nights, and they started teaching me. And then all of a sudden, I was doing three songs with them, and then one day I was doing 10 with Danny. And they threw me in. Talk about throwing me in a river.
Uh-huh.
And, I've been doing it for 20 years now since, you know.
I've often wondered about the mix of feelings you might have from stepping into the Blues Brothers, where your brother...
Well, you know, that's what I said to Danny. I said, Jesus, Danny, when he wanted me to do the Blues Brothers, I said, Danny, come on, that was John's thing. I can't do that. I said, I can't touch a cheeseburger. I said, I can't touch a sword. I can't do Marlon Brando, Henry Kissinger. I said, John ate up anything in my wheelhouse, you know. I said, I can't do the Blues Brothers. It's too weird. And he goes, oh, absolutely not, Jimmy. That is not true at all. There is nothing weird about it. It's like an old law firm. When one of the partners goes down and dies and passes away, the brother or the son comes and takes over. And I went, I don't know, Danny. He goes, oh, no. Oh, no, absolutely. He goes, it was willed to you. John left it in the will that you are to take over for him. I said, I saw the will, Danny. Come on. And he goes, oh, no, the will he gave me. And I went, Danny, you don't think it's weird for me to be in it? He goes, absolutely not. You are not going to be Jake Blues. You're going to be Brother Zerosida. You're the quiet Albanian lord from Albania that we've gone and found after Jake passed and brought him back to bring the music alive on the stage of this great American folk music.
That's a great Dan Aykroyd impression.
Yeah, and I said, you don't think it's weird? He goes, absolutely not. And I said, well, then I don't know why I think it's weird. Okay, I'll do it.
Huh. And it sounds like it's been a blast ever since.
The original joy boy is Mr. Aykroyd.
Uh-huh.
We, you know, when we part after a show, he turns to me and gives me a look, and he goes, until we dance again.
Uh-huh.
We get on that stage, and these guys just blow it. It's like flying. He goes, let's strap on the F-16s. And we sit on this jet of musicians, and we just take off. We have a ball. I always say you pay me for the travel, the gig is for free.
Right. Jim Belushi's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's spending his summers in Southern Oregon now at his cabin on the Rogue River, and he'll be performing at a benefit for the Holly Theater in Medford Saturday, August 29th at Edenvale Winery. More details on that coming up.
I just want to be clear that Danny will not be at that show.
Okay, fair enough.
I just want to be clear. It's my band, Jim Belushi and the Sacred Hearts, but it is that kind of music and that kind of joy, and I do a few dance moves.
We expect that. You know, when you talk about Dan Aykroyd and your brother John and Saturday Night Live, I mean, I think about the fact that you started on that show just a couple of years after Al Franken said it should be put to sleep. I mean, what was it like to get on that show at that time in history?
Well, it was, first of all, it was not long after John passed,
yeah.
And I had done a Second City show in Hollywood, and Brandon Tartikoff was there. and he called Dick Ebersol, because Lorne Michaels was not running the show at the time. Dick Ebersol came back to revive it, and Dick revived it. You know, he kept Eddie Murphy and Joe Piscopo, and then he went out and got a big cast. And Brandon said, I should be on the show. And everybody told me not to do it, and I went, what do you mean? I'm an improvisational actor. This form of television is created by improvisational people. It's the next step for me as an improvisational actor. Of course I'm going to do it. Well, John. And I went, well, let them kill me. I'm doing it, man. This is a total dream of any actor. And you know what? I went on to the show, and people were very nice. The audience really was warm and accepting, you know. And so then that was taken care of, and then the rest of it was just, it was like being in the MASH unit in Vietnam. I mean,
picking
the MASH unit of comedy and competition. It was very tough.
Oh, I'm no doubt. Much more to talk about with Jim Belushi. We'll come back and talk more with him and take your phone calls and emails when we return to the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 30. Final segment of today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest today is Jim Belushi. Not a singer, not an actor, not a comic. He says he's a performer on his website, and perform he does over and over again on television, on screen, on stage, you name it. And he'll be appearing with the Sacred Hearts Band in a benefit concert for the Holly Theater Saturday, August 29th at Edenvale Winery, south of Medford. That's the old Voorhees Mansion for the old-timers like myself. And you can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Just to finish up the line of thought about Saturday Night Live, I got a look at some website that where you were showing the picture of the end graphic of yourself at the 40th anniversary show. In your wildest dreams, did you think SNL would go on for 40 years?
Yeah, I mean, it's like the Today Show. I mean, it'll be there forever. It's a great breeding ground for young comic talent, and it's wonderful. I mean, it's the same premise as Second City, or all theater in Chicago, really, or even here at the Shakespeare Festival. You go, and you see these actors, and you watch them grow, and then become stars. And you were there. And Saturday Night Live has had its down years, but it's just because it's a young cast trying to get used to the format and the competition, and it's tough. It's like, you know, I had a guy come up to me one time, kind of showing off to his girl, you know, being a big shot, and the girl really was like, oh my God, I love you, I love you, I love you, and it kind of made him feel a little uncomfortable, so he goes, I'm funnier than you. And I said, you know what, Bruce, you are funnier than me. You are. I know that when there's a dinner party and there's 18 people there, they're all going, is Bruce coming tonight? Is Bruce coming tonight? Because I know he's so funny. And then, Bruce, you make your late entrance, and everybody gets excited, and you start talking and telling stories, and everybody is laughing and laughing, and you are funny, Bruce. But here's the difference between you and me, Bruce. If I said, I'm going to give you $1 million, make these people laugh, you break out in a sweat and crumble to the ground. Me? That's when I rise.
They must have some fun
saying that. And getting through Saturday Night Live is that training. I mean, it's like, you know, guys that shoot baskets. You see these guys are shooting three-pointers. You put them in a game with other 6'5" guys and elbows, it's hard to make a shot. The same thing as Saturday Night Live. It's hard to get that joke out in front of 20 million people, and your other actors are, you know, looking to be a star before you, and so it's competitive. I mean, it's competitive.
Uh-huh.
So when you work under that kind of pressure, like I said, everything's been easier since, even divorce.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah.
Speaking of family, I saw a clip of you and your daughter Jamie singing together. She's really a good singer. Is this what she would like to do for a living?
Yeah, no, she's... she is, I don't know where she gets the gift. I just don't know. She has got a beautiful voice. You know, when she was 9, everyone kept saying, oh, she's such a beautiful voice. She got such a beautiful voice. So a friend of mine is David Foster. And I had done a benefit for him one time recording. And he said, if there's anything you ever need, you call me. So it's like 10, 12 years later, I go, David, remember when you said, is there anything I need? What do you want, Jim? I said, everybody tells me my daughter's got this beautiful voice. And then he finished the sentence. You don't know if she's really got a beautiful voice or it's just a daddy's love? I said, absolutely. I said, bring her over. You know, it only takes a few minutes. He put his hand on the piano, told her to sing a few things, and then he stopped and looked at her and gave her the lecture. And she's written 10 songs. She's sang the national anthem at Wrigley Field. She's got up on stage in front of 25,000 people with me and Danny. She is a powerhouse.
Does it scare you at all to think of her going into show business too, or is it just, you know, it's been
it
good to you?
Me this young.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, this young it does. And she's got I like that she's getting a little aggressiveness, like, come on, come on, come on. And I'm just holding it back a little bit. I'm like, do your lateral work,
mm-hmm.
learn that guitar, write more songs, do more acting classes, be in plays. I said, you don't need the money, honey. You don't have to go out there and make money to support your family. So I want you to have real good infrastructure before you make that leap, emotionally and chops-wise. So...
Speaking of getting into show business, Wolfgang in Sunny Valley sent in an email. I'll read part of it. He says, hi, Jim, never heard you so likable, probably the Oregon glow. he goes on and on about some of the things that go on in the entertainment business and how self-serving it can be. And he gets down to the point here is, as a creative person, how do you get past the self-serving corporate art business today?
Well, that's a very good question. And it really depends on the situation and what strategies you use. Unfortunately, the higher the amount of budget that's involved, you have to have very savvy people to negotiate with the money people and not compromise. It's difficult. It's difficult. It's hard. It's not like the 70s when they had those great people running the studios. Not that the people who are running them now aren't great. They're great people, but they really let people like Coppola and Scorsese just run.
Mm-hmm.
Now they have a say, and you get sometimes it's a movie is edited by committee, and these guys were all business guys, money guys who want to be creative, and they come in and say their 2 cents, and you kind of roll your eyes and go, oh, Jesus, what is this guy doing?
We have an email here from, not an email, Jeannie dropped off a message. Jeannie in Medford wants to know if you have a favorite restaurant in the Ashland-Medford area and if you ever worked with Robin Williams.
Yes. I go to the little barbed wire in Eagle Point for breakfast. That's great. I go to Tuville Tavern over here by Table Rock for my cheeseburgers. And then I go down to Ashland, and I've eaten in probably about 5 or 6 restaurants there, and I just love them.
All right.
I tell you, that Oregon Shakespeare Festival is one of the greatest gifts in this community. I mean, when I walk out of that theater, I feel like I'm going to step on 8th Avenue in New York.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the quality is as good or better than Broadway. I mean, they are unbelievable what they do there. That Bill Rausch took over that theater many years ago and has made it such a top-notch regional theater that some of those plays go to Broadway.
Yeah, we remember watching the Tony Awards last year when All the Way won the Tony, and the director, actually it was the playwright himself, kept saying, Bill Rausch, Bill Rausch, Bill Rausch.
Bill Rausch, Bill Rausch, he's the visionary.
Yeah.
And every show I've seen since I've been coming up here has just been blow away.
Let's see, let's take another call here from Phil in Eureka. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Jim Belushi.
Yes, hi. You're an actor, and you go on stage, and I just wanted to get your take on the actors called politicians today versus the old days. The old days, they weren't so scripted. They weren't so produced. Nowadays, these guys are all so well handled by big money, I guess, to be rehearsed in front of the camera, to say certain words that have a certain spin. What is your take about that?
All right. Thanks for the question, Phil.
They're smart to get coaching.
Uh-huh.
I've been doing this for many years, and I still get coaching. I got coached in the last movie I did, and the coach was great. I think it's great. I feel bad for politicians because they got to act all day long, every day. I just have to do it on stage.
Has anybody ever asked you for advice from any political candidate ever said, how would you deliver this line or, what should I say here? Anybody ever come to, request your assistance and be willing to pay you as a consultant or something?
Not that I recall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't recall giving any politician any advice.
I have an email here from Winnie. She's welcoming you to the Rogue Valley. She's lived here for 10 years, but a long time ago she says you worked together in Wheaton.
Yeah, that's where I'm from, Wheaton.
Yeah, she says you took a speech class together when it's hard to get any attention from the instructor with Jim Belushi in the class. Winnie Dawson, you probably know her as Winnie Crow, or Crowell.
Winnie Crowell?
Yeah.
Well, hello, Winnie.
All right, I want to ask about the whole Holly Theater thing and how you ended up getting in the midst of that fundraising effort to restore the Holly.
Well, I really want to be part of the community here, and I want to do my part. And even the house I built really fits within the trees and the river, and there's nothing, Hollywood about it. And I just want to fit into the spirits that this spiritual land has, and I can feel the power here every time I'm here. So I wanted to be part of the community somehow. And this Holly Theater restoration was brought to me, and I went to the theater. I said, this is perfect for me. It's about the theater. It's about the stage. This stage has been here since 1933, or 1930, actually.
Mm-hmm.
There's been great actors on it. There's been movies on it. It's a great sense of community where people come, see entertainment, and get a great spirit when they leave. They come in with their heads down, and they leave with their heads up. And I'm all about that spirit. And this theater is gorgeous. And then on a community level, when you restore a theater like this, I've been on the road a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I've played in some of these restored theaters in Kansas and Minnesota. And once you restore one of these theaters and bring great entertainment, which Randy has his hand on how to get the right entertainment, then the block changes, and then there's restaurants, and then other people start to put money into their business, and then all of a sudden you've created this sweet area for the community to come to with their wives or their family and feel good. So, that's really why I want to be part of the community, and it speaks to me as an artist and as a spiritual being. So those were the reasons that I got involved with that. And Randy is a pro.
That's Randy McKay.
He did the theater, the Cascade Theater in Reading, which is stunning. And he books great talent in there from Bonnie Raitt, you name it. Actually, we're going to play the Cascade the night before we come to Medford.
That's right. I'm glad you brought that up. That's right. It's the 28th for the Cascade Theater. And then the 29th at Edenvale Winery. So I imagine you've done the tour at the Holly, have you, Jim?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I was just there again yesterday.
And what's it like when you look at that room without the seats and with with the kind of the bare walls, basically, and you see the possibilities there?
Well, having built a few homes, you have to have vision They lay out a lot of the vision because they do little tours, and they show old photographs and what they're working on and what they're going to do with the boxes. So you can see where it's going to go.
And okay, a couple more questions here. Just in terms of what's next in your career after where it is now. I mean, do you have any other big thing you've always wanted to do that you haven't done yet?
You know, I get that question all the time, and I finally came up with an answer.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to do a Western.
Really?
Yeah. I've never done a Western. I've done everything, but I haven't done a Western.
Have you talked to Seth MacFarlane about doing a sequel to A Thousand Ways to Die in the West?
No, I haven't, but that's the only answer I can come up with, because really, I've worked with Oliver Stone and Roman Polanski, and I've worked with great comic directors, you know. With Ed Zwick, I've done TV, I've done TV drama, I've done Broadway, I've done regional, I'm doing this improv thing, I've done music with the band, I've written a book, I've just been very fortunate to chase the magic and get a lot of the magic. And so, you know, the best thing, the thing I really love the best is ensemble work, working with other actors and taking it to the next level.
It does look a lot of fun, and you make it look fun, and you make it fun for
people
to watch
as well.
Oh, I
have fun. I bring my joy to it because it gave me the joy, and so I just want to pay it forward.
All right, Jim Belushi and the Sacred Hearts benefit concert. They'll be at the Cascade Theater in Reading on August 28th. They'll be playing Saturday, August 29th at the Edenvale Winery south of Medford as a benefit for the Holly Theater Restoration Fund. Jim Belushi, always good. Well, not always good. What am I saying? First time ever. Very good to talk to you today. Thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
Jeffrey, thank you for being so pleasant, and it's an honor to be on your show.
Thank you very much. Take care.